Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is the Steve Jones Show. It is a Monday afternoon. Chad Hershberger filling in for Sean Carey today, and Steve will be along momentarily. And we'll be talking with him and getting up to date on everything that is going on in the world of sports today. Glad you're along here on this Monday Steve Jones Show, brought to you as always by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Purdy Insurance in Sunbury here on WKOK. News Radio 1070. It is 10 minutes after 3 o'clock on Monday here on WKOK. And you're listening to the Steve Jones Show. We're waiting for Steve to get in. Running a little late today, but that's okay. And I'm not sure if Penn State had a basketball game over the weekend or not. I was kind of out of the loop this weekend on what is going on in the world of sports.
That's okay. So is Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. All right, they're out of the loop, too.
Well, they had a true Steve Harvey moment, I guess.
Well, you can't sit there and lecture America for 4 hours and then do that. All right, so, great. If you're going to lecture everybody, you got to be perfect. All right.
It'll definitely be a memorable moment from the Oscars that'll be played over and over again for years to come.
But that isn't the only thing they did last night.
That is true.
They showed last night when they were doing a tribute, beautifully sung, by the way, to those who passed away. They had a picture of the wrong person up there.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
The person they put up is very much alive. Okay, had to be kind of a shock to the family, probably sitting in the living room looking over going, yeah, Grandma, you're still here. And then they didn't put Bill Paxton up.
That is true. Jennifer Aniston did mention him, though, before the
That's
segment.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
They should have edited it in. You're right.
But, I mean, no offense. That takes seconds in today's world to edit in. It was just lazy.
I agree, though. Sarah Bareilles' rendition of that song was incredible.
It was. But the clown show is now over. All right.
Get on to more important things.
Clown show. We have Matt Leon on the show today. We're going to talk about the Sixers. My broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, wrote rather scathing. Nah, it could have been more scathing, I think, because I got a chance to read it before he sent it. He says, what do you think of this? I said, well, it's pretty blunt. And it was blunt. It should be, you know, he's talking about the Noel trade and what they were doing with that. And that they kept Embiid and traded Noel. He said, I was just starting to like this team. And I think a lot of people felt that way. Now you've got Noel playing for Dallas. You never traded Okafor. Embiid's out for the season. Simmons is out for the season. And what they had done, in my opinion, is they had brought back the casual fan to liking the Sixers. By the way, Syracuse, loved by many after beating Duke last week, I referred to as the Duke-Notre Dame syndrome. If you beat Notre Dame in football, you must be really good. Move them way up. We see that happen all the time. Just this past year, for example, Texas beat Notre Dame at home. Oh, my Texas is back. Not back. Michigan State won at Notre Dame. Where did Michigan State go after beating Notre Dame? They moved to third in the polls. Third. Well, that number three matches the number of wins they ended up for the season. Which then brings me to the Duke syndrome. If you beat Duke, that's it. That puts you in. Dick Vitale, they're in, they're in. Did the same thing to Virginia Tech a few years ago in Seth Greenberg's last season. He said, you know, they beat Virginia Tech, beat Duke in a, I want to say it was a late February game. And Dick Vitale's doing the game. He looks at Seth Greenberg postgame. He says, you've done it, you're in. He says, I don't know, Dick, but may have more work to do. Oh, you've done it, you're in. They're in all right. The NIT, they didn't go to the NCAAs. Now, as of right now, our friend Joe Lenardi, and Joe, was really great to have Joe on the show last week. But he has Syracuse at a 10 at the moment. But Syracuse in its last five games, you do know what their record is, right? They're 1-4. Again, not exactly steamrolling down the stretch. Have they played a good schedule? Yes. And I'll get into schedules a little bit in the show today. I want to talk about, obviously, the Gonzaga schedule is something that people are taking a long, hard look at. And, excuse me, that is something that is a concern for Gonzaga. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Penn State's schedule and tell you about that compared to Gonzaga's schedule. Now, why Penn State? Now, Penn State's in the lower half of the Big Ten. Penn State is not on anyone's bubble for anything anywhere at this hour. And I want you to hear the schedule between the two leading up to the final weekend of the season. And again, I'm a big Gonzaga guy. So that's not an issue. I think they should be a number one seed. And but when it comes to the argument about Gonzaga, it's going to come down to what their conference schedules end up being. And I'm going to give you an idea as to how they stack up versus a schedule that Penn State played this year. We'll do that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay. All right, this is to give you an idea of the schedules and where Gonzaga, look, do I think they're number one seed? Yes, I do. Do I think they're really good and they're at minimum an Elite Eight team? Yes, I do. So I do think all of those things about them. But if you're wondering why the conference schedules come into play, here's the reason why. Since December 18th, Penn State has played 17 games against teams in the top 100. Gonzaga's played four. Now, I'm just using Penn State as a familiarity for me. Let me give you Gonzaga here. Now, Gonzaga played a really terrific non-conference schedule. And because they did, you know, like Mark Few understood going in, hey, look, I've got to do this. I want to give my team a fighting chance. I've got to play a schedule like this. So they played number 83, San Diego State. They won by 21. They played number 7, Florida, beat them by 5. Played number 23, Iowa State, beat them by 2. Played number 22, these are the KenPom rankings. 22, Arizona, beat them by 7. Then they played 172, Washington. They played 105 or 103, Akron, which they won. Then they beat number 55, Tennessee, by 10. Once they started conference play on December 29th, they have played 296, 245, 107, 170, 14, that's St. Mary's, 158, Portland 278, Portland 278 again, San Diego 256, Pepperdine 296, BYU 70, Santa Clara 138, Loyola Marymount 170, St. Mary's 14, San Francisco 107, Pacific 245, San Diego 256, and then BYU 70. Since December 18th, they have played four games against the top 100. That's it. And let's see. And then total against the top 100 would be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine games against the top 104 since December 18th. Okay, now, let's go to number 80. Number 80 is Penn State. Okay, not in the running for anything right now. Okay, fair enough. Since December 18th, they have played number 88, 321, 36, 125, 27, 50, 30, 49, 12, 21, 62, 49, 125, 46, 62, 95, excuse me, 93, 12, 30, and they still have to play 65 and 70. Okay. So again, they played 15, 24. I think I've got to revise this a little bit. 15, 24, 77, 72, 88, 36, 27, 50, 30, 49, 12, 21, 62, 49, 46, 62, 93, 12, 30, and still to play 65 and 71. Penn State will play 21 games against the top 100. Right now, they have played 19 games. They're 7-12 against the top 100. Lost to Duke, lost to Cincinnati, beat Georgia Tech, lost to Pitt, beat St. John's, lost to Northwestern, lost to Michigan, beat Michigan State, beat Minnesota, lost to Indiana, lost to Purdue, lost to Wisconsin, beat Illinois, lost to Indiana, beat Maryland, beat Illinois, lost to Nebraska, Purdue, Minnesota. They're 7-12 in their 19 games. So that's the difference between the two. Seven games in the top 100 for Gonzaga. That's seven, and then, excuse me, nine games against the top 100 for Gonzaga. Four since December 18th. Penn State, which isn't the running for anything at the moment, will end up playing 21 games against the top 100. Five of them in the non-conference and 16 in conference. So when they bring up conference play, that's what they're talking about. But Joe Lenardi, I thought, made a great point on the show when he was with us. What day was Joe on? I want to say Thursday Joe was on. Thursday, Tuesday, maybe we had Joe on Wednesday. And the point he made was this. usually a team that is a 500 team in conference, because for the most part, you're playing nothing but conference games from Christmas on. If you're a 500 team in conference, he says, you're probably going to be a 500 team in the tournament. That's who you are. Interesting point. That's why we talk about Syracuse. They're 1-4 in their last five games. And again, the one's against Duke, so since it's against Duke, it seems to carry exponentially more weight than anything else. Penn State lost to Duke on a neutral court by 10. Syracuse beat him at home by 3. Penn State won at St. John's by 16. St. John's beat Syracuse by 40 at the Dome. I don't know. It's interesting. There are pros and cons to Penn State's schedule. We'll talk about a big pro and then a major con in the schedule in the next half hour. I did a little research on this yesterday. It took me about 15, 20 minutes to do this, but it was 15 to 20 minutes well spent because I found it to be revealing. One part's very fair to Penn State. One part is deeply unfair to Penn State. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $242 per month. This is not a lease payment. $242 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with a Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $242 per month, tax and tax extra, at 2.99% APR for 72 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our show today brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades because they've been able to find their customers exactly the insurance they need at just the right price to fit their budget. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com for all of your insurance needs. Go with the pros. They know it better than anybody. Take my word. Time now for this day in sports history. And this day in sports history, 1908, Major League Baseball adopted a sacrifice fly rule for the first time. It was repealed, reinstated, then changed several times before being permanently adopted in 1954. 1912, the Yankees announced that they would be wearing pinstripes on their uniforms. What a mistake. Can you believe that they would do that? 1963, Mickey Mantle announced that he would be signing a contract worth $100,000 a year. 1987, the NCAA canceled SMU's entire 1987 football season for gross violations of NCAA rules on athletic corruption. 1996, the Bulls reached 50 victories in 56 games. 2002, the Astros announced that they had struck a deal with Enron to buy back the naming rights to the ballpark for $2.1 million. Enron had run into a little bit of trouble, so the Astros bought the naming rights back and eventually called it Astros Park, and now it's Minute Maid Field. Or I guess it's Minute Maid Park. That's this day in sports history. All right, scheduling. Scheduling. I know everyone will tell you scheduling is very hard. No, the Manhattan Project's hard. Scheduling, not easy, but not in that league. Pros and cons. I can tell you right now, one of the pros for Penn State is both the bye weeks were perfectly timed. So just to be fair, I recognize that right away. Now, let's get to the con. This year in the Big Ten, of all the games that have been played, and the Big Ten is playing 12 games a week usually. They're playing 12 games a week for a span of whatever. They have, 1 week to go? And what Penn State's play, let's see, 16 games. So you in the conference, you've got, let's just say, so far, everybody's played 16 games times 8. Oops, sorry. 16 times 7. Okay. So right now in the conference, there have been 112 games played to this point. Okay. So you're saying, why'd you take 16 times 7? I mean, everybody's played. You had to play each other. It's the actual number of games played. Okay. Of those 112 scheduled games so far, only four times the entire conference season was a team asked to play on the road Saturday and play on the road Tuesday. Four times the whole season. 11 schools were not asked to play away Saturday and away Tuesday as a combination. 11 didn't have to do it. Now, some did play Saturday, Tuesday, but one of the two was a home game. For example, Penn State played at Minnesota Saturday. Well, they're home tomorrow night. So you get to get back on Saturday night, treatment on Sunday, get a full practice today, get to do shoot around at home tomorrow. There's no travel. Doesn't count. Doesn't count. Penn State also had a Sunday, Wednesday where both were on the road, but that didn't count to me either because that was term break. Yeah, you get back. You can rest up, the whole deal. There's no class. That doesn't count either. So 11 schools in the conference were not asked to play Saturday on the road followed by a Tuesday on the road. 11 didn't have to. Only three schools were asked to play back-to-back road games Saturday, Tuesday. One was Maryland. They played a game at Minnesota on a Saturday, and then played at Ohio State on a Tuesday. Now, the travel from Ohio State back to College Park is not that difficult. I'm going to guess that flight is an hour and 10 minutes back. The other school was Ohio State. They had to play a game at Maryland and a game at Michigan State. And going into the wind, it's probably an hour and 20 minutes back to Columbus on one. And the trip to Michigan State's about, what is it, a 40-minute flight back and forth? So those are the two. I mentioned there are four. Oh, that's right. Penn State had to do it twice. Penn State's the only school in the league that played twice on the road Saturday, Tuesday. And not only that, they played three of the four games in the Central Time Zone. They had to play at Purdue, Eastern Time Zone, on a Saturday, come back, then go right out to Wisconsin to play a 9 o'clock game on a Tuesday night, to then get back early in the morning on a Wednesday. They had to go out to Illinois on a Saturday afternoon, fly back, go back to Nebraska to play a Tuesday night game at 9 o'clock in the morning, then travel back. Oh, and by the way, be back at class on Wednesday morning. Can I see doing this once? Absolutely. In fact, if Penn State had done this once and was one of four schools to do this, I probably wouldn't say a word about it. I would just say it's one of the anomalies in the schedule, and that's the way it goes. Scheduling's not easy. You have to recognize that. And if it dictates that to make the parts fit, you have to do that one time, I can understand that. But when 11 schools don't have to do it, now, several of them did play Saturday, Tuesday, but like Penn State's situation this week, I find it no burden at all that Penn State's on a Saturday, Tuesday this week, because the second game is at home. Or if it had been flipped and the first game was at home, I wouldn't have said anything either. Wouldn't matter. As long as one of them's at home. Just like on a Sunday, Wednesday, same time frame, I said nothing about that being included either as back-to-back road games because it was during term break. It's a different ball game when it's term break. It's all basketball. It's all you have. You're not trying to fit classes in. There's no, you don't have the stress of that. So that didn't count. All I looked at were, first of all, I looked at everybody's schedule all the way through, including term break. And of the 112 games in the Big Ten this year played so far, only four of the 112 where a team was asked to play Saturday, Tuesday with back-to-back games on the road. And only three teams had to do that, and one had to do it twice. And not only did one have to do it twice, the one team had to do it where the back end of the games was 9 o'clock at one at the farthest point of the Conference West. And I'd say Wisconsin be, what, the fourth furthest point west? Yeah, obviously Minnesota and Iowa would be a little bit further west, right? So yeah, Iowa City's pretty close in terms of distance than Madison. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I mean, that's wrong. That's not, that is just taking one school and just throwing it away. That's wrong. One time, I wouldn't even say a word if it happened one time. If it happened one time, it's like, you know what? It's the only way they can make it fit. I got it. You know? And you made somebody else do it along the way. Wonder if Indiana's ever done it. But to do that to one school, I mean, Maryland did it, and they had to go, actually, and they did it in the order you'd like to do it. They went out to Minnesota on a Saturday, came back, and then went to Ohio State on Tuesday, so a little bit shorter trip. So at least they probably got back. That game was early, too. It was like a 7 o'clock game at Ohio State. 9:30 airport, 10, probably up in the air. They're probably back by midnight. So at least it's palatable. Ohio State's second game in their back-to-back roads. They were at Maryland, then at Michigan State. They had a 9 o'clock game at Michigan State. So it'd be, you know, 11 o'clock out of the arena, 11:30, airport, 12:30. They're probably back in Columbus by 1:15, probably about 1 o'clock. Penn State goes getting back between 3 and 3:30 in the morning. If the wealth is spread among several schools to do this and make it work, and you happen to be one of the schools, so be it. I would accept that as scheduling's not easy. That's the best you could do to make it work. I got it. Okay. But when 11 schools don't have to do it at all, and only three do, oh, and by the way, you're the one that has to do it twice, that's wrong. Again, I praise the conference for two very well-timed bye weeks for Penn State. I don't think they could have been placed in better spots for Penn State, honestly. Just to let you know, I'm being fair here. But to make one school take the burden of half of your back-to-back roads on Saturday, Tuesday turnarounds to have one school do two of the four, to 11, have 11 schools do none. Zero, 11 schools were asked not to do this. They may have played Saturday, Tuesday. They may have played Sunday, Wednesday. But guess what? They didn't have to do it back-to-back on the road. And they didn't have to go to Nebraska or Wisconsin, which are about as far away as you can get. One school was asked to do it twice. Two were asked to do it once. And the one that was asked to do it twice got sent as far west as you can get sent for the second game. In the middle of the week, no less. Where they have classes the next day. To be honest with you, I would doubt anybody in Chicago really thought of it or noticed it. And they probably didn't count on somebody like me sitting there and saying, you know what, I'm really curious about this. Okay? That's wrong. That's wrong. If it had been four games and four different schools had to go through it, I'd have looked over and said, okay, you know, you got to make it fit. I understand. And that would have been my attitude. I've done this for a long, long time. But when I see one school have to do it twice, another school once, and 11 don't have to do it, I look at you and I say, you know what? That's a foul. That is a massive foul ball. And what backs up the fact that it's a massive foul ball is I took the time to research it. Facts are powerful. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
You probably heard about the snafu last night on Best Picture. That's because most of you probably heard about it. You probably didn't watch it because based on the ratings, the Oscars continue to slip. Down another 4% in viewership from the year before. And the key demographic of adults 18 to 49 was off 14%. Oh, boy.
I was one of them that did not finish watching it.
3 hours and 49 minutes, longest in 10 years.
It did seem to go very long.
Oh, they're only handing out 24 stinking awards. Just run them up there. God, my goodness, just run them up there.
We're starting earlier.
I watched, well, you know, again, they started at 8:30?
8:30, so yeah.
They're trying to start at 5:30 Pacific time, too. That has to come into play. But, I watched maybe a half hour, 45 minutes of it. And it was the last half hour I watched. All right, best director, actor, actress of a bunch of pictures I never saw. I never saw any of them. The only one I saw was Hidden Figures, which I thought was brilliant. I thought it was outstanding. The other ones, I never saw La La Land. I never saw Moonlight. And my odds are long I'll see either one. Sorry, Movie Mike.
Yeah, I was surprised because when I woke up this morning, the AP alerts on my phone, it said, La La Land wins for Best Picture. And then there was another alert. Wait a minute. No, it didn't.
Right. I mean, I saw the announcement. La La Land. I turned off TV, went to sleep. I was done. We're done. I'm out of here. That's not how it turned out.
Just like a sporting event, you got to stay till the end.
I'm not staying to the end. I could care less. I was curious, but only curious. And, you know, they already made one big mistake in there. They put the wrong picture of Janet Patterson up there when they were looking back at those who passed away. They put up a picture of an actress who's still alive. Like I said, we kind of had to look over. Gee, Grandma, really? Had the wrong one up there. Oh, whoops. Didn't even put Bill Paxton up there. Oh, whoops. And then, of course, the area at the end. And so I always find it remarkable when you watch the replays of it. You can tell that doing script work is their strong suit. Ad-libbing is not.
Well, Warren Beatty's face was priceless.
Well, if they hand you an envelope and you look at it, That's why he looked in the envelope to see if there was another card. Because he looked around and he figured out quickly he had the wrong card. And I guess he was trying to show Faye Dunaway the card. To, like, show him it's the wrong card. She goes, oh, for goodness sakes, it's La La Land. Move on. You know, uh-oh. You have one job. Oh, well. I'm sure the after parties were good. We always have great after parties after this show. Unreal. Over at the Suits place. Incredible.